Welcome to Photodump.
This is a podcast by and for working photographers
with
Ren
and Jen.
Today we have Monica Wang, who used to be a director of finance and turned photographer and now slash studio owner, manager, jack of all trades. And we're really excited because Monica also hosted us for our very first live recording, which was really awesome and fun. And you can listen to that episode if you haven't heard it.
It's actually the number two most listened to episode.
What?
Yeah.
I
actually totally forgot to tell you guys. Yeah.
You know what's crazy? I don't like to hear myself on the recording. And even though I only had like a small clip in the very beginning, I was like, I can't listen to this whole episode because I'll hear myself.
Well, anyway, yeah, we're so excited to have you. Thanks so much for doing this with us.
No, thank you so much for having me. I felt like I felt very touched that you guys asked me.
So tell us, I guess, a little bit more about, you know, you were a director of finance and somehow you got into photography. So tell us more about that path.
I went to school for finance. That's what I went to college for. I thought I was going down this path. And honestly, when I was in college, I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Who does?
Yeah, everyone's confused as an undergrad. And like, I wanted to go down this path of finance because I felt like it was a skill set that I could apply to so many different things. It's something that you would have to know anyway, regardless of what you do. And so I went down this path of finance, not realizing where it was going to take me. But I knew that I was going to have a very secure job and it was going to pay decently. And so that's why I went down this path. While I was doing it, I felt very unfulfilled, to say the least, because I felt like I needed more stimulation. But regardless of how I felt, I still went down this path for about like over a decade. So I would get, my first job out of college was at Johnson & Johnson. I went into this finance development leadership program for 2 years. I did different rotations in finance. So I was really well versed in it. And I did it for so long that I would get promoted, go to different companies. And at first I was working for really large corporations. And then I decided that I loved like the startup world. And so then I decided to go down on this path to work for different tech startups. And so that's what led me to being in the position of director of finance. I still have to say that I love the job. I love the people that I work with. And so when I decided to kind of like explore photography, I didn't know where it was going to take me. I did it as a side hustle. And I hate that word because it just means that you're constantly working. I went down this path not knowing where it was going to lead me. And I really just took like one opportunity and then tried to make the most of it. And it led me to other opportunities. And I just tried to make the most of every single experience that I had. And so the reason why I found photography was because at the time I was really bored with my job. I would experiment with different recipes and food on like the weekends and after work hours. And I would take photos of my food. I would post on a little blog. and it was just kind of like this private journal that I kept like exploring cooking and then learning a bit more about photography. And then as I was doing it, I was like, wait a second, I feel like I could turn this into something. And so that's when I continued to go on this path of like exploring. And that's what kind of led me into photography. And the thing is, like, I was doing both finance and photography full time for almost 5 years.
Whoa,
before I switched over to photography. So it wasn't like it wasn't a decision I took lightly because I loved my job as a finance director. I did really well with it and it paid really well.
Right. So there's like a level of stability.
Yeah. No, I took over 10 years building that that career path. And so for me to leave it was very, very difficult.
From when you decided to leave it to when you actually left, how much time had passed? Like, did you save up a specific amount of a nest egg before you're like,
yeah,
I'm comfortable to make the transition?
That's exactly what I did. And the thing is, I got to the point where I started to make more money doing photography.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
And that's the thing, like, I didn't have anything to fall back on. And that's why I had to save. And it was a decision that I had to make together with my husband because it affected him too. Yeah, it wasn't something that was like, oh, let me just do this and see how it goes. It was really kind of a thought out plan that I had. And at that point, when I made this full switch and quit my job, I had already found the location for the Reverie because I needed to have, I wanted to have a backup plan for my plan.
Oh, wait, that is totally, yeah. This is not what I thought.
Yeah, no, it was very calculated.
Wait, so you basically started two businesses at like simultaneously by leaving one?
Kind of, yeah.
Wow.
But you know what, though? But I will say, though, like by the time that I was doing, like I was doing photography for 5 years alongside having a full-time finance job. But by that point, I had a really good list of clients at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So for me to leave and quit my job, I already knew that I had jobs waiting for me and when I quit. And at the same time, I was like, I also need something else. If you know in finance, the thing that they always teach you is to have multiple streams of revenue. That's exactly what I was trying to do. I was trying to make money doing photography, make money doing the studio, and just having, you know, like a backup to a backup. I don't know how to describe that. But
no,
yeah.
That's so smart.
Because I don't have like a nest egg waiting for me or a trust fund. So I worked for it, you know, and took my time doing it.
That's awesome. Wait, let's go back a little bit. So when did you leave your job, like officially?
I would say that I officially left my job 5 years ago from this point. So I had found the location for the Reverie 5 years ago.
How did you do both? Because you were the director of finance,
yeah,
and a photographer. So were you only shooting on the weekends? Was your job flexible that you were like, oh, I need to take a day off? Or like, how did you handle, you know, those clients?
So I worked on the weekends a lot. And also I had a really awesome setup at my job because it was a tech startup. It was not like a formal clock in 9 to 5 situation. I told my boss very blatantly what I did. And I told him that I did photography on the side. And surprisingly, he was very encouraging and supportive of it. So when I would have a photo shoot, I would tell him I had a photo shoot and tell him I would block out periods of time where I was unavailable. And so we kind of just worked around it. And I still got all of my deadlines done and obligation, like all of my work commitments, I would finish it. And that's why it still worked. And he worked with me like for that period of time for years, you know, while I was sorting that out.
That's a really amazing boss and supervisor to have, because yeah. I think a lot of people get freaked out when someone's like, oh, I have this other thing that I'm doing. But at the end of the day, if you're getting the work done that you have to get done, what does it matter as long as you're hitting your deadlines?
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes I would be on a shoot and be like, and he'd call me and say like, hey, Monica, we really need this analysis done. And he'd be like, I'm on set. I will do it as soon as I'm done.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's was like, awesome. I would tell him.
So was he surprised when you finally put in your notice, or was he like, oh, I saw this coming?
Oh, they saw it coming. They would even tell me that, Monica, I'm surprised you even stayed for that long, as long as you did.
What was your actual transition like on day one of becoming a photographer, like officially with nothing else behind you? What was the process like to get there?
You know what? I was so busy that there wasn't even time to even think about it. I was already booked with other clients. So like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I already had a full schedule with photography as is.
Wow. Kudos.
It was a lot of work though. My poor husband, like I could categorize myself as a workaholic. I thrive off of it actually. And I don't recommend it for everyone.
Sometimes that's what you need.
I feel like I go in spurts. Like I'll do it for a couple of years, take a break, and then do it for another couple of years and take a break.
The clients that you were booking, did you have a specific genre that you wanted to shoot in, or were you kind of taking all clients?
At that point, I had already narrowed down on like interiors. It was something that came really natural to me. I had the most experience doing interiors, and that's the thing, like when you looked at my overall portfolio, it's what was the strongest. And so it just naturally, it came very naturally. Like, and the thing is like, I still to this day, I don't really do any outreach, when it comes to getting new clients. Isn't that insane? Like,
that's insane.
I don't do any outreach. I just post on Instagram. That's all that I do.
I mean, I guess in the mix of this, like how much do you think your Instagram also played like a big role in, you know, basically like helping your photo career because of, do you feel like it did?
No, it helped me tremendously. And the thing is, like, for me, I show like my, sometimes I'll show interior photos. Sometimes I'll just show parts of my life. Sometimes I'll show my dog. Sometimes I'll even show like skincare. You'd be surprised what I share on Instagram.
Oh, I've screenshotted some of your skincare stories. I'm like, I'm going to check that out.
No, it's so silly. I just try to be myself as much as possible. And I feel like potential clients feel like they know part of me and how my personality is. And so when people come to me or clients reach out to me, there's already some level of understanding. It's not like a complete blind like meeting. And I feel like it's very helpful.
If you don't mind being in front of the camera, I'm like, I don't like to hear my voice. And then also to hear it again in the stories or like to put my face, I'm like, I can't do it. It's so hard for me.
From an outside perspective, it sounds like, oh, I already have my clients and I know exactly what I'm going to shoot. But the reality is you spent 5 years trying different things, building up your portfolio until you felt confident that you were getting all of the clients. Did you try other things aside from interior? Like, I know you said you shot food.
I did. I realized really quickly food was very hard to shoot. Everything melts. And there's secrets to the trade. And I, and the thing is, like, luckily I had a very close friend, someone that I grew up with. She opened up a couple restaurants in Chicago. So I would go and shoot some of their finished plates. They're invited to like the James Beard house. They invited me to come along and then I would take photos of things. And I quickly realized like I could do this, but I felt like I really didn't need to hone in on one thing for me. And because I realized if I did, my portfolio would come out much stronger. And so I'd be able to attract the clients that I wanted quicker versus showing everything.
You shoot other stuff aside from interior.
Yeah, like sometimes. Like
jewelry?
Jewelry, for example. But it's always mainly been interiors and like sort of like lifestyle things.
If you know Monica or follow Monica, Monica has great taste and you shoot a lot of your own home. But I guess how did you get the first few client, like interior clients?
Yeah, like how did you build up that portfolio?
You know, I will be quite frank. I did not know what I was doing in the very beginning. Like
no one does.
really didn't. But serendipitously, like I was connected to Lulu in Georgia, which is an interior home decor company. They were starting out their furniture and rug and home decor business the same time that I was starting out my photography business. So I somehow connected with them and started to shoot for them, not knowing what I was doing. And also they were starting out too. So I felt like we were at the same stage, you know, and then I grew with that company for a few years before like they hired someone in house. And that's how I built my portfolio doing that. And I did so many things for free. Working for different publications for free, or working for very little money, just so that I could add it to my portfolio and have like this breadth of work that I could show someone else. And honestly, please don't look at my website right now. I have not updated it in like 7 years.
Oh my gosh.
I'm really, really busy.
That's awesome.
I feel like I'm always like, I need to update my website so I can get more work.
But I do think I think I totally had a different strategy where I was like, let me just show myself on Instagram, show people what I do. And somehow it did attract good clients. It was, I think it's a combination of that and also like showing good work. But I also think that when you get good clients too, it's not just like the work that you do, but a personality fit and a level of professionalism that is really important for people.
Yeah, I feel like those are the clients that come back. It's when you really connect with them and you like spending time with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any tips for photographers on best practices to build up an interiors portfolio?
I would reach out to different publications to see if they are looking for photographers, because you'd be surprised. I mean, that's how I built my portfolio. Is just, I used to do like home tours. I think this is really popular. Yeah, like 5 years ago, where you'd go to someone's house, take photos, write a little blurb about their home, about the design, about the family that lived in that house, and just having those images published on like a big website like Apartment Therapy. That is honestly how I built my portfolio to begin with. It was kind of done like for free and also like with a lot of hours worked on the weekend.
Did you create the space because you felt a need for the studio? But it sounds like you already had both. You already had that going for you before you even left.
Yeah, no, I really had thought it out. And like, I'm definitely a person that takes like calculated risks. So then I had it all mapped out. Like, just so you guys know, in my finance job, I would put together investor decks for people. I would help them put together financial forecasts for like 3, 5-year, 10-year plans. I would also manage all their cash for an entire company. So then I already had this skill set that I didn't realize how useful it would be when I would open up my own business. I mean, I did know, but like going through the pandemic added another layer of complexity to it and stress. And so that skill set really helped me kind of like weather the storm.
I do feel like the thing that's lacking the most in education is a financial education. And mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people, unless they have an interest in it and go pursue it as a career, a lot of people that start their own businesses, like it's a huge learning curve to figure out how to manage your own business.
And also too, you need that information to make better decisions. Even now, whenever we do an event or a photo shoot, I am always tallying up how much we spent, how much we brought in, and looking at our margins to see how, like if it worked for us, like what could we have done better? What could we have asked for? And just like putting that all up front. I do look at it on a regular basis, like after everything that we do. Yeah, no, it's like, it's an exercise that has like grown innate in me and happy to teach you guys more. Like, like I'm happy to share the information. I felt like it really served me well to have that as something that I already knew at the back of my hand kind of situation. I think a lot of people can get really easily overwhelmed, and it can be really overwhelming. But because I had done it for over 10 years, it was a quick little calculation for me. It wasn't like something that I thought over for a day. It was just like, let me think about it. Let me put it down on a piece of paper. 5 minutes later, I already had made my decision.
So were you thinking of the Reverie as both photo and event space?
Always. I had always planned it that way. Even our logo is made up with 4 boxes, and those 4 boxes are supposed to represent different things.
What are they supposed to represent?
Like it could be like a wedding or an event or a photo shoot. It was always planned to be a multi-use space because I always felt like that spaces like that could have been monetized better. Like, for example, like weddings, it's pretty much a wedding venue is only booked on Saturday and Sunday pretty much. Once in a while, they'll be booked on a Thursday or Friday, but not regularly. And also on the photo shoot side, too, like I felt like they always left opportunity to get booked more. So I wanted to create like a multi-use space and so that we could monetize more. And I also loved the idea of not having inventory because like I've managed inventory, too, on the finance side. It's not easy and it's actually very complicated. And you also have financial risks when you have like excess inventory. So like I definitely didn't want to have a business that had any inventory. And I also love the idea of having it like create a community.
Because you're a photographer and studio owner, are the hats that you like, do you have to separate your mind in separate ways when you're kind of managing either one?
So weird. Like I don't, my brain works both ways. All in one. It's very strange, but it just works like that. I feel like I'm really good at solving problems. I can figure out a puzzle. And so like, it's just how my brain works. And it took me a while to figure that out too.
You're like a team of one in there, right? Or do you have people now?
That's a really great question. I've been a team of one. Now I have freelancers that come in and out to help me manage like the photo shoots and also events. And then now I just hired a new assistant. It's actually so hard to find staff right now. I just hired someone like a month ago, and she left because she got offered another job that paid more money, like something I couldn't pay her that much. So she left, and so I just hired someone else this past week. I think it's also because of my background. I was able to create system and operations with a lot of tools like Asana, for example. I use like this other tool called Dusato for contracts because I have this background and on the back end that's really boring and time consuming. I figured all that out in the past like 2-3 years of having it. And so then now when I have an assistant, I'm just like handing it off.
I'm just curious like what the biggest differences are with your photography business versus your studio business. Is there anything that you do differently? I mean, obviously, like for photography, you might have to bid on a job, whereas for an event space, it's just like you're giving a tour.
You know what? In the event space, we're bidding too, just like everyone else. Yeah. Oh. Like when they're looking at a venue, they're looking at like several venues at the same time. And so I feel that the process that you guys talk about, I feel it the same way as a location.
I know you said you don't do outreach for your photo. Do you do any sort of like marketing or outreach for the Reverie at all?
Only Instagram. And I invested in updating all of our SEO on our website and just having someone specialize in that area to kind of go through all of our keywords and making sure that that was all updated. So when you Google like outdoor event space, like we're one of the first ones that pop up.
Do you pay for ads for those?
I do not. And I would say like more than 50% of our inquiries is just through word of mouth.
Wow.
It's usually the strongest form of marketing for sure.
Okay, so you were thinking about all this at the same time. How did you navigate? Well, you had two things. You were navigating your own career as a photographer and then financing a building of the Reverie.
And like renovating it and everything.
It was overwhelming. Like, I'll just be frank, I've never done that before. I was learning as I went. It was incredibly stressful. And I didn't know what I was doing. I just learned as I went. And I know that it's hard to have takeaways from that, but I legitimately didn't know what I was doing. But I did know how to put together a business plan and a financial forecast, put up a request of like working capital or like how much money you would need to invest in something like this and how much money we would need to have it be profitable and things like that. I had all that other information, but the actual construction process, I had never done anything like that before.
Did you have any help? please say yes.
I did. I mean, like I did in some sense, like, I had to raise money for the renovation process. It was quite expensive. And like some of my investors are like older brothers to me. And so then whenever I'd run into like a hard spot, I did have places to go to have resources to go to if I really didn't know what I was doing. And I also have like a really supportive husband. But I did learn as I went, and I also made mistakes too, you know? So I didn't know how expensive construction would be in the city of Los Angeles. I didn't know how hard it would be to get a certificate of occupancy in the city. The city is so hard to work with. They do not care about, they don't care how long they take. It was really tricky navigating that too. And I'd never done anything like it.
And then at the same time, you're shooting for clients.
Yes.
How? I don't even know. I can like barely function some days.
When I look at a big project or something like that, I really do break it down and do it day by day. I break it down into digestible amounts of work, but like it was also hard for me to look at it as a larger project.
Does your husband like play a part in the business at all?
We also invested our own money into the renovation as well. So in that sense, yes, he was like my emotional support too, but he was not involved in the day-to-day or managing it or anything like that. None of my partners were. And I specifically designed my agreement to be that way. I didn't want anyone involved.
Yeah, because Monica is boss, guys.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I felt really confident in my decision-making abilities with financial data. So like, I didn't want anyone else to be involved. I felt like it would overcomplicate things.
So going back to your photography portion, yes, of the career. So since you do a lot of interiors, did you create this photography studio as a place that you envision yourself shooting in? Like, do you use that studio for yourself often, or is it mainly for other people?
Not that much. I honestly, like, managing the studio is such a full-time job that I didn't have any room to like do any outreach and be like, hey, like, come over here, let me take your photos for you. I really didn't have any room in my schedule for that. Even though I'd always kind of pictured it would be like that, the past couple years were pretty rough. And I was working pretty much nonstop.
Rough because of the pandemic.
Yeah, rough because of the pandemic.
We should talk about that. So you had this whole plan. You were going to leave your job. You left your job, opened a studio at the same time. And then it actually grand opens like a day before the global pandemic really hits America.
Really? The day before?
It was like literally the week before. Like I had canceled. Yeah, I had planned like a launch party and everything.
Oh my God.
I know. I had a really hard time processing what was happening because at the same time, and I was hesitant to share this, but I will share it now. Like we had a bank loan to help us with working capital the first year or two of the business, but the bank dropped me the instant like the pandemic started. So I had zero working capital. And I couldn't qualify for a PPP loan because I didn't have a year worth of revenue to show a bank. And so I was like stuck in this weird, like everyone was saying no to me. I couldn't get any funding. And I had to really brace myself for like a really rough ride.
Oh my God. I like literally just got chills.
Oh yeah. No, it was hard. Terrifying. Like it was traumatic. I had never experienced something like that because I feel like I am such a calculated person. Like when I make decisions, I put together like financial data. I evaluate it.
You didn't put global pandemic.
No, I didn't. I would have definitely reconsidered the whole plan if there was, because I didn't expect for it at all. And also at the start of a new business, it's already hard enough to open up a new business in general, but to open it up during the beginning of a pandemic was like, I felt like I was set up for failure.
So what did you do?
I honestly,
cried.
I actually had a really hard time crying because I was like in problem solving mode.
Yeah. Like you don't have time to be like sad. You can only like be like fix.
Exactly. Like, let's just try to come up with a solution. So then I started to offer like products to be sent to us so that I could take product photography for companies that couldn't do photo shoots at that time period. And so then I did that to bring income in. I also did family portraits, which I never do. I mean, I never, like me, kids, like, no, like but I did it just to bring income in. We kind of just took anything and everything during that period of time. And at the same time, believe it or not, before we had opened up the business too, I had booked a bunch of weddings. And so I was processing refunds, like wedding cancellation refunds at the same time. I had never, ever experienced anything like that in my life. But now that I have a deep sense of empathy for people that are financially struggling. I mean, I do. Like, I couldn't look at it on a monthly basis or even a weekly basis. I really took that. Like at least the first 2 years of the pandemic, I really took it day by day.
How are you feeling now that we're like not really in a pandemic, but sort of still in a pandemic?
It's weird because like I don't know what's normal anymore. Like the first like 3 years, like the first actually January of every year that we've ever been open, it's been completely dead. Like no revenue coming in because there's always a spike in COVID numbers. And this year is actually the first year where a good chunk of January is already booked. And so like, I don't know what is normal at all. Like, I don't know what a normal year is. And that's what they teach you in finance too, is to compare year over year, quarter over quarter, so that you can kind of like identify trends or seasonal things that you should be aware of. But I mean, I'm just going on the fly.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll stabilize eventually.
Yeah, I think it will.
Was there anything that happened because of the pandemic that actually helped you in some way? Or just no, it was all awful.
I mean, I feel like it's also probably hard for you to say because you didn't ever have a pre-pandemic. Yeah. So you don't even know like what the average streamline is.
I will say the one thing was that I had time to learn as I went and do that whole, like I've never had a venue before. I've never had a photo studio before. So then it kind of gave me time to figure it all out before like we would hopefully get really, really busy. There honestly weren't that many positives. I'll be honest there. It was a very lonely process.
I know the first time I shot in your studio, I think it was the first year. It was the fall of the first year of the pandemic. And I remember thinking, I was like, oh, it's so amazing that this is a large space in that people could safely actually, like, the right amount of people could actually be on set because there was enough space to spread out. So I feel like you had that going.
Yes.
For you. I mean, because a lot of studios are small and they have like a really specific cap, or they had during the pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, that's one positive. What saved us too is that we did have both an indoor and outdoor space, like you mentioned, because a lot of times, even now, catering is outside. Like, the base camp is set up outside.
The shoot that I was on, I think you had split up the studio into multiple shooting spaces. I think we had like three sets maybe going at once. Is that something that you did, what were planning on doing? Is that something that you still do?
I had always planned it that way. That's the finance part of my brain working. It's just that you want efficiency. Like, I could see a creative director kind of overseeing different sets on the same day. And so I felt like it was a better use of people's time and energy and also funds. And so I always planned it that way.
I mean, I guess, how do you feel now that you have the Reverie and it's like everybody talks about it, everyone loves it. So I would say in our perspective, it's thriving. Do you feel like it's been what you imagined? Are you really happy? Is there still more you want to do within the space? Is there another Reverie coming?
So I do feel content. Like, it has exceeded my expectations. I know the timing was rough, but I would have never guessed all the brands that have come into the space. Like, you know, you like put together, like when I put together my business plan, I did write down like brands I wanted into the space. Almost every single one of them have used the space either for a shoot or an event. My goal was always to target larger brands that have larger budgets because our space is so big. And to see that actually come to real life, like, it's been amazing to watch. And the thing is, like, it happens on a regular basis. Well, I'll stop and like, I'll like take a step back and seeing what is going on in the room. And it shocks me every time. And the funny thing is, like, because I used to work for Johnson & Johnson, one of the companies that they own is Neutrogena. And it was so funny because Neutrogena did a shoot at our space a couple weeks ago. And it was just like a full circle moment for me, because I started my career out of college in finance working for Johnson & Johnson. They own Neutrogena. And so then to have them in the space and actually interact with Neutrogena people, which are like J&J people, that was like a full circle moment for me, because I felt like I definitely took an unconventional path with the foundation that I had.
You should be so proud of yourself. Aww. Created a beautiful empire over there.
Oh, thanks. And the thing is, like, I for another location, the math would have to work. I feel like now I know going in, when you go into a property, how much leverage you have once you have like an example of a work that you've done. Before, I didn't know what my leverage was. And honestly, maybe I didn't have much, you know, like I had never had a business like a brick and mortar business like this before. And I just had all these dreams and wants and like goals, you know, and I've never like saw things to execution, because I'd never had that opportunity to. But like, now that I've had like a level of success, I feel like if I were to work on a next project, I would probably negotiate a lot harder, knowing that I could add so much value to like a building or a neighborhood and have like proof of it too.
What are the benefits of being a photographer and having other photographers shoot in your space on different types of productions and everything like that?
I think it's fascinating to watch other photographers work, and also like how complicated something can be. And how, you know, like sometimes you'll see like the craziest set for like the smallest like
tiny
photo, like, yeah, like a tiny little, you know, you're like, wow. And then there's other times where you can see someone create something so beautiful out of like so little. And so like, it's been kind of fascinating to watch people work. And then also to see that some photographers work in as a duo, you know, like there's one person shooting and one person art directing the whole thing for you as you're shooting. And it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, that's what really makes a photographer really strong, when you have like the technical skill set and also have the same level of, to have that match your art directing like skill set as well, and just have that pair together. So like marry together the way that it does. I mean, that's what really makes a strong photo.
I wish I had an art directing background. I do. I rely on art directors.
The thing is, like, I rely on art directors too. Like, I would say that I'm like, I definitely rely on that. Like, I, it's hard. It's, you know, on set, like, it's hard to wrap your head around different.
Right. Which is why you really need kind of a duo to do that, because it does take up so much of your brain power.
Yeah, it does. It's a totally different set of eyes, if you think of it that way.
Have there been any photographers that have shot in your space that made you like fangirl a little bit?
You know what? I actually don't really get like those moments. I think that we've had so many wonderful photographers come in to the space that I'm just grateful that they're there. And I haven't really had a fangirl moment, but I have had one with a hairstylist. Because she works on all of my favorite actors. And she happens to be Korean too. But like, yeah. If
Were
I
you
follow,
like, can you cut my hair?
Yeah, I mean, you must meet so many people.
I do. It's really wild. And the thing is, like, it's so funny because I think it's also because the way I look, I could pass like as an intern, or like, I don't know who people don't know who I am. And so it's so fun to meet people, but them not knowing who you are.
Yeah. Do you feel like your own photography has taken like a back seat since you've been really focusing on the studio, and really you're the studio manager? So like, I can't imagine like having to shoot and then you get an inquiry on your phone where like they want to do a site visit. Like, how does that?
It's definitely taken a back seat. And I'm okay with it. I feel like there's a season for everything. And I just kind of roll with it. I try not to put too much pressure on myself. I told my photo team, like last time I shot with them, that I don't have any goals. Like, I don't have any goals anymore. I'm just like, I just am.
Honestly, I feel like that is a big part of photography. Like, I feel like that was something that I really tried to focus on this year, because this year was really up and down for me. And it's just like, when you have expectations, that's when you get disappointed.
Yeah, it's all in your head.
Not to say that like I don't set goals or any, like, you know, there's things that I'm working towards, but I'm not like, I think when you get fixated on outcome, that's when things just don't work out. Like, things rarely work out the way that you think, unless you're like project, like doing like things like you're projecting like financial reports. Like, I feel like there's a little bit more maybe stability or like something to, you know, I don't really know all of that financial terminology, but I just feel like with things like a photography business, there's just so many unknowns and there's so many things that are out of your control that I think it's kind of like almost empowering to not have goals.
I just am. And it's not that I don't want to, you know, achieve things. It's just like, I felt like so much was so out of my control the past couple of years that I didn't want to put any additional pressure on myself.
Yeah. Now you can ride the wave a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully.
For photography and your studio, do you feel like there are different seasons that you feel there are peaks in and slumps in?
Yeah, there definitely is. There is some seasonality with photo shoots, as you guys already know, and also events like, and who knows what I have now. Like, I've never had a normal year. So like, I have noticed that like photo shoots not book as quickly or as often in the past like 6 months than they did even last year. I feel like it's been kind of a strange time where companies are maybe pulling back on their marketing spending and kind of waiting to see how this recession rides out. And on the flip side, like events have picked up quite a lot. And so I'm just kind of seeing how that goes and like where that takes us.
Do you have any good disaster stories from like photo set or weddings? Has anybody left their wedding?
No.
I do not at the altar.
No, but I when things do happen, like for example, recently someone pushed our elevator doors off of its tracks. So like the elevator wasn't working anymore. I don't know. Oh. Those grip guys, like I don't know what they did, but they were doing something to our doors. And yeah, like things like that happen where the elevator doesn't work anymore. And you have all this gear or like stage equipment or furniture to take up and down. I think the old me would have freaked out. And I still freak out a little bit when I'm trying to solve an issue that I feel like is over my head. But now, nowadays, I do calm myself down, and then try to come up with a solution for things. But yeah, I haven't had a disaster yet, like, especially with events.
Hopefully never.
Hopefully never. We do do like, I do a rigorous checklist before an event, because I hate when things are not running smoothly, because I don't know why, just the way that I'm wired, I feel partially responsible. So I try to support the producer or event planner as much as I can.
Do you have to be on site anytime your studio is booked for anything, or do you pass it off to someone?
I do. I do check myself in the morning, and I go down our internal checklist to make sure that the client has everything that they need for this, the event to go smoothly. So I do check in the morning, but now I have staff to take over for the rest. In the beginning, I did everything, like for the first like 2 years. Yeah, I worked like an insane number of hours just to keep things going.
Hard to plan shoots around that too.
Oh yeah, no, it's hard to plan life around working that much. Yeah,
I was gonna say, it's like, I know you do take some short mini vacations. You are doing something relaxing every now and then.
Now I have like appointments set up already, like doctor's appointments, acupuncture, massage. It's already lined up for me every single, like every month, every week, like whatever I need, I already have it on my schedule now.
Monica prioritizes her massages and facials.
Oh my God. Do.
I need to do that. I want to do that. How do I do it, Monica?
You put it in the calendar and
I do. I schedule it. Like, I don't even care. Like, and the thing is, it is quite expensive to have all those self-care. But now it's like, I was at a certain point during the pandemic, I was like burning out, like physically and emotionally completely burning out. It was the point where I got myself like physically sick.
Mm-hmm. In addition to self-care, do you have any advice for when things get really challenging? When life gets challenging and too much?
I feel like because of my experience with the pandemic and having this business, something has like permanently shifted in me. Before, like just like a hypothetical situation where you would freak out, but say something happens and the old me would have just absorbed all my feelings, emotionally held it all in, and just kind of like felt like I was melting inside and holding all this stress. I don't know now, like when people tell me like my car is on fire, or, you know, like someone cut their finger off, or like, it could be, and it's actually happened on site before.
Someone cut their finger off?
Their finger off, like during the construction process, someone did cut a portion of their finger off. Like there's just things that happen. Now I don't like absorb it all in anymore. Like I take a step back and like, I know you just told me this, but let me just process it for a little bit, and I don't constantly just like react to things anymore. I'm just like, I kind of have like a shield. It's really strange.
Did you have to start like a meditation practice? Because that sounds like someone that does a meditation practice, I feel like, has that ability.
I don't do meditation regularly, but I definitely go to church. I grew up in the church, and I pray, and I do feel like an inner voice talking to me.
Wow.
That helps to guide me making my decisions. I can feel it and I can hear it. It's really, it's kind of like when Oprah talks about like your voice. It's really like set inside. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
I feel like a lot of that growth also comes from life experience. And it's just, you've had like, after a certain amount of experience and a mm-hmm. certain amount of reaction, you're just like, I don't need to react this way anymore.
Correct.
I don't need to take this on, and I'm not going to.
I do. Like sometimes I'll take on other people's problem as my own, but now there's like a boundary.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is your problem. And I don't have to take it all in, you know? And then I tell myself that, and the moment I catch myself not like taking it all in, I'll do something else. Like I'll work out. I'll move on to another like activity.
I mean, Jennifer and I were just talking yesterday and I was like, Jennifer, this is not your responsibility. You do not have to take this problem
on. You just can't.
It's the client's
sometimes. Problem. It's like trying to please too.
Yeah.
You know,
I know, it's hard.
You just want to make people happy at the end of the day, and So it's like, how can you?
But then you sacrifice your own happiness and health and well-being. So there comes a point where you have to like make a choice of being like, I'm going to be selfish and think about me. Yes. Because if I can't function, then, you know, then it affects everything.
It really does. And it affected my health. It affected my marriage. Like, I mean, it's a lot of stuff that I had to sort out because there were consequences.
Yeah. What do you feel like now that you're like three, almost four, I guess, starting 4 years into the studio and also, I guess, how many years just being freelance photography?
Seven. After leaving your company, I think, yeah. Right?
5 years. Yeah. So it's been five years.
So I guess, what do you feel like are some of your biggest like milestones or highlights that you're just like really proud of?
I actually get really uncomfortable, you know, like that's why actually, like, even now I still haven't done like a launch party or anything. Like, I don't want to be, my husband's really good at that. That's like his personality. He loves that. He's a Leo, you know, he just loves all the attention and all the people. I am proud. Like, when I take a step back, it's like, wow, like all of these brands have come into this space. And maybe this is something that I need to like go to therapy for, but it's actually hard to find those moments, you know, like I do have those like glimpses of it, but I don't really like let it sink in. I think there is something really good about being humble and knowing that you're not good at everything either. I still feel like I have a lot to learn. When I see people on set on photography, there's so many like much better photographers than me. And like, you know, like it's humbling to see that, you know, and see what they are able to produce. And so like, for me, I'm always in this constant state of like learning and trying to figure things out. And like, I can't sit still for long. So I know that I'll have like another project or something in the future.
Well, you totally skirted the question. But I mean, I know what you mean. For a really long time, I felt uncomfortable even calling myself a photographer. Yeah. Because I felt like I was like faking it. Imposter syndrome, everybody has it. But I do think there is a benefit to reminding yourself of your achievements and what you are. And I feel like if you say it out loud, then you can really kind of like come to terms with it.
Should we say it out loud all together?
I know it's like, it's hard because like, the past couple of years, I just kept on like taking things day by day and not letting my feelings, like letting my feelings like sink in. Like I definitely did have moments of disappointment. I was angry. I was really upset at the timing of it all. There's many times where I felt like I made the wrong decision, but now seeing things really kind of steady out and like all these brands come back again, and it's just like seeing how it's growing. It's like this baby that I created is now like walking on its own a little bit. And it's like kind of wild to see. And it's like, and a part of me is like, there's a voice in my head that tells me like, this is just the beginning, you know, like there's going to be other things. It was a great learning experience. And I think that's the thing that I'm most proud of is, it has changed me. I felt like I was put through the fire, you know, and I don't think I would have learned to the breadth that I did without having those experiences. So for me, like, it was just like my personal growth was something that I'm most like proud of.
Yeah, I do really believe that there's no growth without hardship. There's no growth without failure. And yep. I mean, you had an intense amount of it starting something during the pandemic, but I feel like the reward is so much greater when you overcome that.
Yeah, no, it is. And then when little things happen, they don't bother me at all. Like,
yeah,
like
someone cuts a finger, who cares?
Yeah, yeah, I know. There's a hospital over there. It's just like, there's a solution for that.
Right.
Just mic drop.
I just want to say that when the pandemic hit, I curled up into a ball for a couple of weeks and I was like, don't know what to do. And then I was like, okay, I got to figure something out. But you just like, you literally had no choice but to just
myself. Like, I just had to go and do whatever I could to make income come in. I got really good at not paying people. No. Like, and just like, no, but not like in like large corporations, but like, no, it's just like, you just have to shuffle your bills around and like give them a call and just like push things out and like, and just like come up with a payment plan. You find ways to make it work. And I feel like there's always a solution, even when in the darkest of times, there's always something. And even if, and it, then that's why I really took things day by day, you know, like, it's just like, I couldn't look at it as a whole. Our bills are too gigantic.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of have to do that with my goals in general. It's like when I take a step back and try to think of like a 3-year thing, I get really overwhelmed. And it's really just kind of streamlining what has to be done and what is nice to be done. It's just like focus on the what has to be done today, tomorrow, next week. And then you can cross the bridge when you have to think about the bigger picture.
Yeah. And I think it's just like putting one step in front of the other. You know, like that's, I mean, that's the thing that I focused on the whole time.
Yeah.
Okay. Also too, I did pay all my bills, just FYI. I don't want to tell people that I did.
You're all caught up.
And I did make a choice. Like I, as I was making like each of the wedding refund cancellation, you know, like all the cancellations that we had, like we processed each wedding refund one by one. And it was a decision that I had made. It was either do that, like, and there's all these, a slew of other bills. But like, for me, like, I didn't want to start off my business knowing that, like, I did that, you know, like even to save my own ass, you know, like just, I just felt like, I just wanted to set off a business like this on the right foot. And so I just did what I could. And happy to discuss even further, like any sort of finance tips.
Were people understanding with that?
They were. And then we did come up with payment plans for everything. Mm-hmm. We had to.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the only upside of a global pandemic, there is none. But if you had to pick one, if I had to pick one, is I feel like everyone is in the same boat. So I just feel like there's a lot more empathy and compassion and understanding and patience during that time. So that's amazing that your clients worked with you.
Yeah, they did.
We definitely, we should chat about having you on again and more of like a
finance guru.
Yeah.
I know there should be a support group for that. And also just like business owners, it's so hard. It's like, I knew that the road I chose was really lonely, but to do it during a pandemic was extremely lonely because I felt like I had no one to turn to that was in, like everyone was freaking out and like having issues, but I didn't really feel connection with people that had a business with ongoing bills. And it was just like, it felt like an enormous pressure, you know, like a constant pressure during that period of time. And so it was extremely lonely. And I'm glad to say that, you know, like, I don't feel that anymore, thank God. But it's like, yeah, no, I felt like it was such a learning process for me. I didn't think I was going to make it. I really didn't.
Was there a point at some point, you know, this year or last year or whatever, that you're like, I think I'm going to be okay? Or has that point not happened?
I feel like it started to come recently, not even that long ago. It's just because like next year is looking good, you know, like, and I feel safe moving forward with all these obligations. And like, it still felt rocky, but I felt like the holiday time was always a good checkpoint, just because in the previous years, like COVID has always spiked. And yes, it is spiking a little bit more this year, but it's not like a shutdown like it has been in the past years. So there's actually been like a shift.
This was really great.
Such a fascinating story.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
And I hope it provides you some sort of insight for people that are interested in opening up their own space or I don't know, just insight in it. I would definitely say there's a time for everything. I would say that probably not the best time to open up a physical space right now. You know, just because like it's just still so dicey out there. I feel like I got lucky in some sense that we finished construction before the pandemic started, because otherwise like prices would have skyrocketed and the timing would have been even longer. And so, I mean, it's not easy out there right now. And I empathize with other business owners that are struggling. And also too, the cost of having a business is so ridiculously high. The cost of labor, I have bills up the wazoo even now. And like, I mean, even now, like we are profitable, but like I had to be obviously to make it this far. But like, it's just like the cost of doing business is so much higher than it ever was. And so I think sometimes it always feels like the grass is greener on the other side. But now that I'm here, there is something so like magical about having like a work-life balance, and just like not having so many responsibilities.
Well, you have a lot to be proud of, so kudos to you.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Of course. No, thank you.
This was so amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. This was fun.
If you have any comments, questions, or ideas on future episodes, email us at photodump.club@gmail.com.
Photodump was created by Ren Fuller and Jennifer Chong. Thank you to Sam Fuller for our cover art and overall tech support. Our music was created by Daniel Smith.
You can find me on Instagram at jchongstudio.
And me at Ren_Fuller.
Thanks for listening.